This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton. For more information, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.
From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Knowledge at Wharton on Business Radio. Here's your host, Dan Loney.
Yesterday, Apple's September event was good, but may have lacked some of the luster we have seen of prior events. Still, we saw a new iPad, an updated iPhone, and changes to Apple TV, amongst others. But it makes you wonder if maybe something else might be in the offing and in the near future. To take a look at what was revealed and what we may see coming forth, we welcome in Haley Sukama, who is a technology reporter at The Washington Post, as well as Richard Dasher, who is the director of the U.S. Asia Technology Management Center, as well as executive director of the Center for Integrated Systems at Stanford University. Haley and Richard, thank you very much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Haley, I'll start with you. You were there at the event. A lot of excitement, kind of tame. What was your general reaction from what happened yesterday?
Well, I mean, I have to say that Apple really, they introduced a lot. They definitely had a quantity of announcements to make. I think, you know, with the iPhone, the S-cycle kind of phones are always more of an iterative update. And with the iPad Pro and the Apple TV, I think it's kind of interesting to see what Apple's laying down in terms of future avenues of business. The devices themselves were interesting, but kind of more interesting for what they represent about what Apple might do in the future than exciting in and of themselves, I think.
Richard, what was your general reaction?
Actually, I agree. The one thing that I noticed was it took them over 2 hours to do their keynote. I wasn't able to go to the event, but I did log in and watch the keynote on the computer. And it started off with Apple TV. It didn't start off with Apple TV. It started off with Apple Watch and talked about that for quite a long time. It'll be interesting to see what they do with these things. I really agree with Haley.
Haley, it's interesting because Tim Cook said, getting to Apple TV, he said the future of television is apps. What did you take from that? I mean, because it is interesting. Apple TV it's starting to gain a little bit of a hold, and obviously the whole TV sector is kind of getting ready to shift here, I would think, in the next 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is very interesting, I think, to see Apple sort of you know, they've always controlled hardware and software, and I think it's interesting to see them sort of take this leap into content. We've seen it with Apple Music a little bit, and sort of with Apple introducing yet another app store for the television, and the rumors that they're going to get into streaming themselves and sort of curate channels. It is very interesting to hear what Cook is saying. And it is true, you know, my colleague Cecilia King at the Post, she reported yesterday that internet video advertising is finally starting to make a little bit of a dent into TV advertising. So we're seeing that flip definitely. And it seems like Apple really wants to be at the front of it.
What was the item specifically that drew probably your most attention? For me personally, it was the iPad Pro, because I think it's interesting that they're kind of now separating the demographic in terms of the people they're trying to reach with the iPad, because everybody says this iPad Pro is more business related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly agree. You know, Tim Cook has really been laying down a lot of groundwork in making specifically the tablet more of an enterprise device, more of a business device. We've seen that through their partnerships with IBM, with Cisco. You know, that's not exactly the sort of thing that maybe Steve Jobs would have liked, you know, I mean, not liked, but would have gone after in quite as aggressive a way. He was much more focused on everyday people. But the iPad Pro is, you know, you look at all the demos they gave, all the software that they showed off, you know, they invited Microsoft on stage, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Definitely a business-focused product.
Yeah, and that was an unusual tactic, I would think, because a lot of people obviously made the association right off the bat with the Microsoft Surface tablet. That probably caught a lot of people off guard, I would think.
It certainly caught me off guard when Phil Schiller said, okay, and now we're going to welcome Microsoft to the stage. It went totally quiet in that room. No one was even fidgeting.
Richard?
Yeah, it actually got kind of a bit of bad press out on the internet because it looks like Apple did what people used to accuse the Wintel monopoly of doing. Namely, it was introducing somebody else's features several years after they had been introduced.
I'll ask this question. I was going to wait till a little bit later, but I'll ask it now because I wanted to get over to the iPhone. Because the release of the latest iPhone, there wasn't a ton of change to it. They upgraded the camera. I guess they added this 3D touch technology. So I'll ask it to both of you. Haley, I'll start with you. I'm in a situation right now, lay this right out. I've got the opportunity to get a new iPhone come March. So the question is, with what you saw from the new iPhone 6 and 6S yesterday, should I be a consumer that should be buying this version, or maybe I should wait till next September and think about what might be the iPhone 7?
Well, that's a question I get a lot, as you may imagine.
Yeah.
And it sort of depends on what device you have right now. For example, I have an iPhone 5S.
I've got that too, yeah.
You've got the 5S, yeah.
Yep.
I probably will upgrade just because I'm sort of intrigued by the larger screen and, you know, but my phone works fine. And if there isn't something really great to entice you to get to the 6S, you know, the 3D touch is kind of nice. It's like having a right click menu on your phone, which
yeah.
could be good. And if you take a lot of photos, then that might be a compelling reason to upgrade.
Oh, I've got three kids that are under 9 years age, so I take a ton of photos. So maybe I should do the upgrade.
Yeah.
Richard, what do you think?
Oh, I've got an iPhone 6, and I probably would not go to the 6S. But, you know, it does, the new camera on it is very impressive, a 12-megapixel camera. But what I think was really interesting is now they have this Apple upgrade plan, where if you pay them something like $30 or $40 a month, then when the new version comes out, you will automatically receive one every year.
And that's interesting as well because it basically just, they're trying to bring customers in on a full-time basis instead of, in some respects, dealing with the carriers. Correct, Richard?
That's correct. They are really distancing themselves from the carriers. The other thing that they're doing is they're really moving more toward a service-based business model in general. And this is one of the big changes that you're seeing a little bit of stuff, that, you know, with the TV, moving toward focusing more on content and so forth, is definitely a move in that direction as well.
You think, Haley, that this payment plan is going to be a winner?
So I admit I haven't had the time to do all of the math on it.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, a lot of people don't really like their carriers, and so they may prefer to deal with Apple. I do think also offering an unlocked phone is an interesting choice for consumers.
Haley, I know you have to leave in a minute, so I'll ask you this as we let you go. I kind of get the feeling, and I mentioned at the top, that there's more to come from Apple and probably in the near future. Do you think that's the case?
I definitely think that's the case. You know, we've been waiting and waiting for them to announce this long-rumored streaming video service to come in and basically do for the messy landscape of TV what they did for the messy landscape of music. And I think, you know, it's going to take a while maybe for them to bang out those deals, but I think we can expect a lot more.
And how much of a game changer do you think they could be for the TV industry just in general? Because a lot of people seem to think that if Apple gets it right, they have a chance to really put a dent in the consumer base of the cable industry.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, a lot of people really trust that Apple brand. It, of course, depends a little bit on, I mean, it depends a lot on how they implement it. But I think they do have a good shot at it. It's a brand that people know and they trust, and they rely on Apple to simplify a lot of things.
Haley, I know you've got some other things to do, so thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time.
Thank you.
Great. Haley Skyama from the Washington Post. We continue with Richard Dasher, and your questions for Richard about Apple are more than welcome at 844-WHARTON, 844-942-7866. I want to get back to Apple TV for a second, Richard, because one of the other things that was brought up with some of the changes was Siri being added to Apple TV, and then also gaming as well. Two areas which I wanted to get your reaction to.
I think those are both really important developments. A lot really does depend on just what kind of service they provide in regard to content. But what you're seeing is the careful growth of an ecosystem that will eventually probably have control over most of the things in your house.
Right.
And possibly follow you around wherever you are so that you will interface with your data and your applications that are stored in the cloud a lot easier. The OS that they have announced, the version 2 TV OS that they announced with Apple TV, is going to allow third-party apps development. So immediately that's the gamers, right, the game development people. But more broadly, it could also turn the TV into the access point for a home internet, home network.
And that's something that, in some respects, I think, if memory serves me, it was Sony that was trying to do, that they could really link in all kinds of things right through their gaming systems, correct?
That's correct. But you see, the problem is this is something that only a big company can do. There's a lot of focus these days on startup company innovation,
okay,
but it really takes a powerhouse like Apple, who knows how to deliver content and services as well as a variety of hardware, and be able to link those. The glue that holds all these things together is really where their value added is going to come from.
And it really doesn't seem like there is any other company, I think, right now that has the capability to do that, that has kind of their tentacles out in the variety of areas that Apple already does.
Not exactly like Apple, but I would watch Google.
Okay. Why so?
Because I think that Google has also, in June this year, both Apple and Google announced their kind of operating systems for what people are calling Internet of Things. And Google is an open system that is going to be compatible with just about anybody's kind of device, whereas Apple is definitely building up things that have to fit with its system, its hardware. And so I think that what will really be decisive is what the developers decide to go with.
We're talking with Richard Dasher of Stanford University. Your comments are welcome at 844-942-7866 if you'd like to ask him a question about Apple products or the future of Apple. I mentioned it with Haley, and I'll ask you as well. How much do you think Apple has the chance to really change the TV itself and really make a dent into the cable industry going forward, let's just say 5 years out?
I think they have a huge opportunity. What we saw yesterday with Apple TV, the hardware, is the enabling necessary technology. What we really haven't seen is just what kind of a content service they're going to deliver.
You mentioned Apple Watch, and I'll bring that up as well, because seemingly Apple Watch hasn't done as well as probably they would have hoped. You know, there just hasn't been that following, I think. Obviously, a lot of people have gone out to get the Apple Watch. But it is the changes that they made, are they changes that will resonate enough with consumers to even drive more sales? Or has Apple Watch kind of, at least for right now, hit kind of that level that it's really not going to go beyond?
I have to say I'm not as excited about what they're doing with the watch as I am with other things. I do think that the Apple TV was by far the most interesting technology that they introduced yesterday. The watch itself, okay, so now you can use Apple Pay on your watch. All right, now you can have Facebook Messenger on watch. Mm-hmm. And the translate function was kind of cool, where basically you can really use your watch like Dick Tracy would. But, you know, to me, that's not going to make me go out and throw away my old $39 Timex.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Richard Dasher joins us from Stanford University. He's the executive director of the Center for Integrated Systems. He's also director of the U.S. Asia Technology Management Center. Your comments are welcome about Apple. We're talking about Apple's event yesterday, which had an updated iPhone. It also had the new iPad Pro that is out there and some of the shifts to Apple TV. I'm very myself as a consumer, and I don't know where you fall on this, Richard, but I'm very interested, and I keep very close watch on Apple TV. My ex-wife has Apple TV at her place. I have cable at mine. I'm very close to making that shift right now to Apple TV, and I think a lot of other consumers are kind of in that realm as well because they've seen what Apple TV can be, I think. They've probably seen what Sling can be. You know, some of these other opportunities – just instead of having to get locked in to that $150, $200 a month where you have to have cable and your internet and in some cases a home phone as well.
I agree with you. I think that the whole TV kind of payment system and, you know, logging, having to subscribe to premium channels and so forth is probably going to be on the way out, and I think this new TV can help it be on the way out. It will disrupt the kind of pricing structure that people are paying for the content that they watch. Already, young people are watching most things on demand. They're saving it on DVR and watching the programs when they want to see it, fast-forwarding through commercials. And, you know, this Apple TV is one step beyond that. What you've got is you've got a big company which is very carefully moving into the next generation of how we interact with information technology. They are being very careful in regard to not telling people what they think will win and lose.
Yeah.
The things that they announced yesterday were clearly for general consumers. This was not for the development community. This was for the people who will go out to the stores and yeah, actually buy things. And yet, they are moving one step closer each time to a really new kind of seamless, transparent interaction of people with their information technology.
Is Siri going to be a winner for Apple TV?
I think so.
Why so?
I think that, first of all, it's something that Siri is almost made for.
Okay.
Limited number of voice commands. It will be easy for her to interact. You're not going to have all of these frustrating experiences where Siri says, I don't know what you're talking about. And I think that this will free you up so that as you're walking through the room, you tell the TV to do something.
Yeah, because you're basically, when you're talking about Apple TV, you're going to say, Siri, I want ESPN, or Siri, I want Disney Channel, or Siri, I want this, correct?
That's exactly right. Plus, over the long term, you're going to just do what people used to do on Star Trek and say, computer, do this, right?
That's true. That's exactly right.
So I think that Siri is definitely a huge advantage that they have in the system right now over anybody else. There are other digital assistants, but Siri is further along.
The iPad Pro announcement, we've seen some articles about how maybe the desktop computer might be starting to make a comeback. Would a product like the iPad Pro maybe bring the discussion back to the tablet side?
Well, Apple got punished a little bit yesterday in its stock because people figured that this is going to eat in more into laptop sales.
Yeah.
And laptops are typically more expensive. It's very interesting to see if this really does become the new version of the laptop and if this really kind of replaces the laptop. I know a number of people who, when they bought their first iPads, were kind of disappointed to find out that the functionality was not what they wanted from a laptop. And this is definitely moving back toward giving them full office as well as personal functionality with the thing. The larger screen, the fact that it integrates with a new keyboard and has a new keyboard connector,
mm-hmm,
all of that was something that, yeah, they kind of missed in earlier versions of the product. Microsoft Surface came out with it before they did.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, okay, it's maybe Apple copying Microsoft is kind of like the dog, instead of the dog biting the man biting the dog, right?
Right, but it was interesting when you think about it, that even though Microsoft kind of beat them to the punch with this, they made obviously a very open recognition of the fact that, hey, you know, Microsoft did this and we're following along.
Yes, and... of course, the way they did it, you wouldn't, until Microsoft came out and demoed Office on the iPad Pro, you would not know they existed, right?
Yeah. We're talking with Richard Dasher, Stanford University, a few more minutes with him. If you have a question for Richard talking about Apple and some of the Apple products announced yesterday, the number is 844-WHARTON, 844-942-7866. Last couple of minutes, talk about what's next. And a lot of people obviously are still thinking that, you know, this build-out of Apple TV will happen at some point. I guess these agreements with the various content providers is the biggest stumbling block right now for Apple, correct?
That's their biggest challenge on the business side.
What are the ones, though, that they really still need to get done?
In terms of what kind of agreements they
have? And companies that they want to bring onto Apple TV.
Well, actually, I think that they're probably in the process of doing that. I haven't really looked into their individual agreements with publishers, but I think that introducing the TV OS with this version of Apple TV is going to hedge their risk so that it's not just TV content.
Okay.
This could also really become a much better game device, as games are developed native for Apple TV.
And that was a big thing as well that they mentioned, is that the game makers are really focusing on trying to serve Apple specifically and not just look at, you know, putting games out there in general for the whole world of the computer.
And there's a lot of nice features. You know, their remote controller for the Apple TV basically functions like the Nintendo Wii controller.
Yeah.
So that it's sensitive to movements and angles and gestures.
844-WHARTON is the number to give us a call. 844-942-7866. We're talking with Richard Dasher of Stanford University. He is the executive director of the Center for Integrated Systems. He follows everything that goes on in Silicon Valley very closely. Jim is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great to have you on the show.
Thanks. Hey, Richard, I thought your comment earlier about the monthly fee that Apple introduced yesterday to be able to trade up on the iPhone when it's introduced was real interesting for a couple of reasons. Just the way that it changes it, the way that Apple interacts with the consumer, but also the whole conversation that you guys were having earlier about do you trade, when do you trade, and Apple being able to look at their developers and some of their technology providers and tell them, you know, what kind of take rate they're going to have. I was hoping to get you to talk a little bit more about that, because that actually was the most interesting thing for me from the Apple announcement yesterday.
Well, I think that as a long-term thing, in a way, I was not too surprised, but I was yet I wasn't really expecting it. I think that, you know, the carriers had always been offering these upgrade plans, but now that Apple offers it itself, they are definitely taking more control away from of the business from the carriers. You will see Apple has always had a very powerful relationship with the people who are developing hardware that can be used with its system, but now really you're seeing an unlocked phone that you can get one a year, basically paying all along as you get it. It'll be interesting to me to see if people sign up for it. This is new for a phone maker to do this, And so we'll see within the next 6 months, really, how this picks up.
Jim, let me ask you, do you think you're going to be doing something like that? Because I think I saw it was going to be like $32 a month. So you're talking about realistically about $370, $380 for a year that you have to set aside specifically for a phone.
Well, so two things I would say. One, I think it depends on where you are on the adoption curve. I'm an early adopter. So, yes, I will be doing it because when they introduce a new device, I usually upgrade and I'm out of plan with my carrier and everything else. So I end up paying a relatively steep rate to do that.
Yeah.
But two, for me, having, I would call myself an Apple guy. I'm not an Apple loyalist. I don't own an iWatch, but I have a ton of Apple devices in the house. But for me, it's interesting with Apple TV, the additional fees that they could start adding on to that, not just for the iPhone, but for distribution and content services and some of the other stuff. I think it just changes completely the way that a hardware, I think a lot of times we think of Apple as a hardware company. Yeah. A hardware company relates to their customers by being able to get a reoccurring revenue stream for future offerings. And it just struck
me. Jim, I think we're on the way to that. I think you have a really good point with that. Yesterday was not the total transition to this new way. Apple still looks like a hardware company. But definitely this movement is happening. One thing that might make it attractive, I wonder if it's like leasing a car versus buying a car. The tax implications for somebody that owns their own business is quite interesting.
Jim, thanks very much for the call. Again, 844-WHARTON is the number, 844-942-7866. One last comment then from you, Richard, as we get ready to go. What is the biggest thing outside of Apple TV that you expect to see coming up in the next year for Apple?
Wow.
I know, it's a broad question for you.
I actually think that they may support the iPad Pro. And I think that this may be a sea change in whether they really push that to actually take some of the increase the size of the business of people who are really using these devices for business.
It does really give them the opportunity to really go after a variety of corporate clients, even more so than they really have ever been able to do before.
That's correct. The functionality is a lot better than the old ones. And it's an impressive device in terms of just, you know, which devices I wish I'd upgrade real quick to. That's it.
Yeah. Richard, great to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on the show.
For more business news and analysis from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.